on the Good Shepherd, the Great Shepherd, and the Chief Shepherd. I suppose you know in the 22nd Psalm, you have the Good Shepherd. In the 23rd Psalm, you have the Great Shepherd. In the 24th Psalm, you have the Chief Shepherd. I want to read about the Chief Shepherd first in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, the last chapter of Peter's first epistle. And he says here in the 2nd verse, feed the flock of God. Feed the flock of God. Now, we have a kitchen downstairs, and we feed the flock of God once in a while, and our ladies certainly give them a good meal, but this isn't what he's talking about. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Isn't that wonderful? A crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now, if you want to find some people here in this place, couldn't find them all at this same service. You want to find people here that are going to have that crown of glory? You visit the Sunday school classes here, Sunday morning. And you go around and see those faithful teachers feeding those little children and the older children with the Word of God. And there isn't anything more important as an occupation than feeding Christians with the Word of God. You remember what the Lord told Simon Peter after he was raised from the dead? Feed my sheep. Feed and tend my lambs. Feed my sheep. Well, he has sheep and he has lambs, and you'll have just as much reward for feeding the lambs as you will have for feeding the sheep. I told about that wonderful home where I was this past week, a godly mother and father, and do they know the Word of God. And from the time those little children were old enough to understand anything, they were taught the Word of God, and the whole family. The whole family, every one of them, understand the Bible, that mother and father. When the chief shepherd shall appear, they're going to receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. You better get busy and do some feeding of the flock if you want to get a crown of glory, because the chief shepherd is surely going to come. Then in the 13th chapter of Hebrews, we notice in the 20th verse, this is a wonderful verse of Scripture. Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now, as you'll notice, when we go to the 10th chapter in John and get the good shepherd, Christ had to be both in order to save us. If Christ hadn't been raised from the dead, we never would have been saved. The gospel is not only the fact that Christ died for our sins and was buried, but also the fact that he was raised the third day. And here is a wonderful statement. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now you remember the Apostle Paul said that we want to know Christ in the fellowship of his suffering as the good shepherd, and in the power of his resurrection as the great shepherd. The power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. Now let's see the good shepherd at work in the 15th chapter of Luke. They brought an accusation against the Lord. You know what they said? In the 15th chapter, the Pharisees and the scribes in the second verse murmured, saying, "This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." Think of Almighty God here on earth in the form of man, sitting down at a table and eating with sinners. And he received them and ate with them. And Jesus spake this parable unto them, "What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying, Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost. I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth, more than 99 just persons who need no repentance." I wonder if there's any unsaved person here tonight. Would you like to cause joy in the presence of the angels in heaven? Will you let the Good Shepherd save you tonight, and you'll cause joy in heaven? Well, you'll not only cause joy there, but you'll have the joy of salvation in your own soul. Now let's turn to the great chapter of the Good Shepherd. In the 10th chapter of the book of John, the Gospel of John. You know what I said to you? We spoke 2 weeks ago, we spoke on two of the 10th chapters. There are five of the 10th chapters. We spoke on the 10th chapter of Romans, and you remember there it was the great change, where it says, there is now no difference between the Jew and the Gentile, a great change marked there. That's in the 10th chapter of Romans. Then we have the 10th chapter of Hebrews. That's the great sin and the great judgment. The sin that's greater than murder and adultery and stealing and getting drunk is the great sin of despising the grace of God and rejecting the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't make any difference how many sins you've ever committed. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And God says, "Come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet and red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool, as white as snow." The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And the great sin and the great judgment. Now in the 10th chapter of Matthew, you have the Lord's first great commission. He sent the 12 apostles out, told him to go not to the Gentiles, to go only to Israel, and preach, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's the first great commission. In the 10th chapter of Acts, you have the great surprise. Up to that time, it was not lawful for the apostles to preach to the Gentiles. And the Lord let a sheet down 3 times, and it was filled with all these unclean creatures. And the Lord said to Peter, "Arise and slay and eat. I'm going to send you to the Gentiles." He sent him to Cornelius. It was a great surprise for him, and he got in trouble when he told the other apostles he'd preached to them. They condemned him. There's a great change with that great surprise there. But now in the 10th chapter of John, we have the great gift and the great giver. The great gift and the great giver, the greatest of all gifts. Notice in the 10th chapter, at the 11th verse, Christ said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Now when we quote that, I wonder if we understand what it means. You remember in the book of Hebrews where it says we have not yet resisted unto blood striving against sin? What does that mean? Did you ever go to Gethsemane in your Bible and see the Lord Jesus Christ sweating, as it were, great drops of blood? The blood coming out of his pores and going down on the ground and saturating the ground with his blood? Why? Because Calvary was right ahead of him. And the good shepherd was going to give his life for the sheep, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. And Peter pulled out his sword and cut off the ear of the servant there, you remember. He said, put up your sword. The cup which my father gave me, shall I not drink it? The father gave him that cup. He was delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, and God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son when he died on that cross. Now God gave his son, and the son gave himself. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. God says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. He wasn't talking about Gentiles. We never were sheep. We were dogs. It was not right to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs, and we mustn't change the metaphors. I'll never forget the first time I went down the sheep country, way down in the southern part of Texas, years ago. And the shepherd told me the story there. He says, you can take a flock of sheep and put them in the high grass and the cool shade and the running water. And he said, if you do not have a shepherd there and a sheep leads them, they'll go out and out and keep going till there isn't a blade of grass or a drop of water or any shade. And they'll go out and keep going until they die. That's the reason God said, all we like sheep have gone astray. He wasn't talking about us. He was talking about the Jew. They were already had been in the sheepfold. The Lord had put them in, and he calls them the sheep of my pasture in the 34th chapter of Ezekiel. Then they went astray, and the shepherd came to get them. And he said, the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Now notice what he says here. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine, in the 14th verse. And then the 17th verse, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I want you to notice what the good shepherd had to do. He had to be the good shepherd on the cross. He had to be the great shepherd raised from the dead. He had to lay down his life, and he had to take up his life again in order to save us. He had to be delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. Now, before we read the 28th, will you turn to the 6th chapter of Romans? In the 6th chapter of Romans, notice what we have here. In the 6th chapter of Romans, in the 8th verse, now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Paul said, I have been crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You never have divine life, eternal life, until you've been crucified with Christ. Identification with the Lord in his crucifixion and death and burial must precede your having life. You never live with Christ until you die with Christ. Now notice, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. He died unto sin once. The good shepherd gave his life for the sheep, and God of peace raised from the dead the great shepherd, the Lord Jesus Christ. So hear these wonderful verses. In John 10:28, because Christ had power to lay down his life and take it up again, we're told that he hath abolished death, and he's brought life in the gospel. There's life in the gospel. Not in anything that you can do, but in faith in what he did. Life in the gospel. I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now you know the word perish me here doesn't mean that your body will not go to the cemetery. It may be there before this week is over. You don't know. As our brother quoted, though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man will perish, but if you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, you will never perish. He says so. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. He answered, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? They answered him, not for a good work do we stone thee, but for blasphemy, and because that thou being a man makest thyself God. If he hadn't been God, how could he have laid down his life? How could he have taken it up again? Well, you have the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd, and you have the order in the 9th chapter of the book of Hebrews. It says Christ appeared once in the end of the ages, and he put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That's on the cross. He has not entered into the holy places made with hands, but in heaven itself, there to appear in the presence of God for us. He's the great shepherd up there. He's the good shepherd on the cross. And in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, he's coming. Then every one of us are going to be rewarded according to our works. He said, let us not be ashamed before him at his coming. Are you laying up treasures in heaven? You expect to be rewarded for your works? Are you working for the Lord? When the chief shepherd shall appear, you'll receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.